must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth. But a joke. But you and I, we've been through that. And this is not our fate. So let us start talking falsely now.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
Folks, Doc Bigley here, and today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are.
But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me.
I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs.
Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the alexjonesstore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Saturday, June 20th, 2026. I am your embattled chronicler, Alexander Emery Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, transmitting worldwide.
Another time.
In the Age of Wonder.
Until the crystal cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
The Christian.
We are now in the 112th day of Israel's Iran war that has engulfed the planet in massive inflation and economic stagnation leading to collapse. I said this week, I said 2 weeks ago, I said Trump is legitimately now realizing he's been set up trying to get out of this. I said, look, for more intense attacks on Netanyahu, he called him insane yesterday in an interview with Axios. Strait of Hormuz is closed again 1 hour after Israel and Hezbollah agreed a historic new ceasefire in Lebanon as Iran peace deal hangs in the balance. An hour or so after that happened, there's an overhead shot of that, Israel launched some of the biggest attacks yet on southern Lebanon, mainly Christian areas. Israel strikes killed 32 in Lebanon, putting U.S.-Iran talks in peril. That's at alexjoneslive.com, Al Jazeera reporting on it as well. And even Gerald Morgan, who's a big Christian Zionist, really smart guy, I respect him, I understand his views, I agree with his politics 95%, he has now turned against the Likudniks and says they're mass murdering and they're insane and that they're empowering the Islamicists, and it's absolutely true, and that they're going to get Israel destroyed. You now have the former head of the IDF army coming out and saying the same thing. You've got Trump coming out and saying the same thing in multiple clips. This is big news. And Israel bit off more than it could chew 3 weeks ago, announcing that they were going to basically merge with our military. And Netanyahu wrote the subsection of the Defense Authorization Act for 2027, Section 224. The Defense Department responded by saying it's a top national security threat. The good news is the out-of-control Likudniks, headed up really by Ben-Gvir, he's the real boss, have exposed themselves to the world that they are trying to expand a greater Israel, not actually protect what is Israel today. So even people that aren't anti-Israel, and I've not been anti-Israel, are forced to come out and say, you're trying to run our country, you're dragging us into these wars, you're priming our leaders that are being reasonable, that are standing up for our sovereignty, like Thomas Massie and others, you're openly bragging about how you're going to censor and debank and attack with the ADL and the FBI, anybody that questions you. Laura Loomer, victim of censorship, is now calling for censorship of anybody that exposes AIPAC. It's just wild to see all of this unfold. So I'm going to hit this first, biggest developments yet, and I am predicting that Trump is only going to get more hardcore and withdraw military support from Israel. He's already pulled back the refueling tankers 2 weeks ago. So, and Trump makes the point that I've been making since before this war started. And when Israel was trying to get us into full war last June during Midnight Hammer, which was their goal, was regime change. The mullahs aren't going to fall, less than a 10% chance. Pentagon studies, I agree with it, good analysis. Even the IDF came to Trump last year and this year and said, you probably shouldn't do this. You're not going to get regime change. Don't listen to Netanyahu and Ben-Gvir and the Mossad chief. That's the three people that were talking to Trump. Don't listen to their operative, Mark Levin. Not that they were anti-Israel. They understood that it would fail. It would demonize Israel and the United States. And so that's where we are now on that front. Absolutely insane. And so now Trump's come out against what Israel's doing. Hillary Clinton has. Just showing you that the whole system knows which way the wind is blowing right now. And so Trump, in this Axios interview, we'll play the clip in a moment, he said, listen, they'll just hide in their caves. The regime probably won't fall. And then we'll continue to have the Strait of Hormuz closed. And that'll kill the world economy. And so I could do a massive ground invasion, but the American people don't have the stomach for that. He doesn't say that in this clip. He said it last week, so I'm just combining the statements. But you can pull that up. He said, yeah, we can do a ground invasion, but the Americans don't have the stomach for it. And he goes, I don't think I do either. Who knows if that would even be successful. And so we have to do this. Now, remember, Israel first said it was about degrading their nuclear capability. That's been done. But the real goal was regime change. That's a lie. And that wasn't going to work either. So for all the neocons and all the white pillars and all the cat turd types on X that said I was an idiot and I was a fool and
Tulsi Gabbard was wrong, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Kane, was wrong, and that Joe Kent was wrong. No, we were right. You were wrong. And that's where we are now. But I've said to my crew, and I've said it on air, I go on Steven Crowder's show, agree with like 95% of what he says. They've always been pro-Israel. I know they're inside baseball, how they're funded, what they do. They don't take any money from governments or Israel. They legitimately are like, hey, we side with Israel, not the Muslims. They kind of look at it from that perspective. And I can respect that view. I agree with 95% of what they say. But even Crowder and his producer and co-host, Gerald Morgan, who's a good friend of mine, very smart guy, knows his history, knows his theology. He's coming out when Ben-Gavir, who is a psychotic, and says, for every Israeli soldier that dies as we invade Lebanon, by the way, we're taking southern Lebanon, they're carpet bombing the Christian homes, over 30,000, we're going to kill 1,000 people. And we're going to, and I want all of Lebanon to burn, and then the other members of the Knesset are on TV, I have clips saying, I love war crimes. I love war crimes. Let's kill every single one of them. Everybody, let's kill everybody in Lebanon. Well, I mean, it turns out half the people in Lebanon are Christian. And I don't believe in killing all the Muslims either. You got Hezbollah or Hamas outside their country attacking people, wipe them out. But you don't just flatten, you know, entire countries and then take their land and say it was about protecting yourself. You become the villain then. Israel has had world support because until recently, the last 5 years, it was seen as the underdog. And Israel played that well. Oh, this little bitty country, and you know, look at us, and we're always being ganged up on. And the Arabs have done that before because they didn't like what Israel was doing. Ethnic cleansing at the time, but on a smaller scale. Now that's all gone. Israel is by far the most unpopular country in the world. It's getting worse. The whole world's turning against it. And the Republicans are turning against Trump. That's the biggest issue, that and the economy. In the midterms coming up is these wars that Trump kept us out of the first administration. He was truthful about that. And then now he's done this about face, believing he'd get regime change. Well, now he knows that's not the case. So you listen to the, not the first Trump that I agreed with on foreign policy, and not the second Trump who I disagreed with on Middle Eastern policy, but we have the third Trump now that sounds like he had a brain transplant of Alex Jones last week. And that's what I said a few weeks ago from my inside sources and seeing Trump's rhetoric. It was going from him just, okay, Israel, you're a little out of control, stop it, a month ago, to, all right, Netanyahu's insane, we got to keep him sane, this is a disaster, we're ending this war, I'll pull military aid from Israel if they keep going any further. And then Netanyahu says, I'm not going to back down. Trump puts pressure on him, he says, okay, we'll do a peace deal with Lebanon. And the majority of Lebanon wants that. Okay, there's some Hezbollah mixed in there. And it's not like Israel just actually targeted a few Hezbollah. They're still carpet bombing. We have the new footage of overnight. It was during the day over there. But, and then overnight, just blasting the living snot out of whole neighborhoods. And Trump said 3 weeks ago when he leaked it to Axios, stop blowing up whole apartment buildings to get one bad guy. Or just because some Hezbollah might have walked through a mall, you blow it up. That was a quote he said a few days ago. You know, now Trump is publicly saying this. And we've also got footage, aerial footage of just, again, overnight, whole neighborhoods completely destroyed, dead people everywhere. And this is an hour after Israel signs a ceasefire deal. And they admit no rockets got fired out of Lebanon, north of Israel, into northern Israel. So Israel's pledged to break these deals. I don't even think Netanyahu's in control. It's Ben-Gavir. And again, Ben-Gavir is, for every Israeli you kill, we're going to kill 1,000 of you. For every Israeli mother that sheds a tear, 1,000 of your mothers will shed a tear. We need to burn down all of Lebanon. And that's basically what they're doing and saying, we're going to take southern Lebanon for the Greater Israel Project. Just 6 months ago, if you said that, you'd be called an anti-Semite by the ADL, even though it's an official plan. So this is all coming to a head. We have other prominent Jewish leaders calling for, ooh, if a bomb went off in D.C., that would get Trump back on track. False flags. You have other Israeli ministers saying we need to fire our own missiles into the Golden Mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, there were on top of the second Jewish temple, the rubble, and blame it on Iran so we can take out Iran. I mean, they sit there like we're deaf, dumb, and blind, and like they're the adults at the big table, and it's Thanksgiving, and we're at the card table, little kids, you know, over there with our Kool-Aid and macaroni and cheese eating our boogers, and we don't hear and see what they're doing. So there have been people that are Christians, that are conservative, that think Islam's the main threat, which in many levels it is one of the main threats. And they just say, well, I'm going to stick with Israel because they're fighting the Muslims. But I argue with Gerald before on air, and he has to admit I'm right. Okay, why did Israel help fund Hamas to destabilize and to have bad leaders so they could not have a legitimate government to deal with? They'd have a bad government to deal with so they could over time take over and bomb and destroy them. And why did Netanyahu secretly and got caught sending massive funding to Hamas right before October 7th? Why did he stand down? Why did the West put in the head of Al-Qaeda 2 years ago over Syria? You know, we're told we're with Israel to fight the Islamists, but 9 times out of 10, it's Israel and NATO and our own government, the British, running the Islamists. So it's a serious, serious situation. I want to hit that first. Then we've got all this other huge news out of HHS and Kennedy and the poison shots and what Marjorie Taylor Greene has to say about that and more. They're covering up whoever grabbed the three-year-old and threw him into a crocodile pit in England. And they won't release the man's name. You know what that means. It's an invader. We've got all these increasing racial black-on-white attacks, some terrible examples of that. And what's coming next? We also have a lot of information on the Islamists and their plan, their own admissions, and how they plan to take over. And big nighttime marches here in Texas in the last few days by the Islamists. We've got a big live transmission lined up for you on this Saturday. But remember, you are the Paul Revere's. The bad guys don't want this show in the air. They don't want people seeing this information. They don't want the info war to continue. That's why you need to share on your email list, your text message list. Hit everybody you know and say, hey, the forbidden show, the bad guys don't want you to hear and see, covering the real intel. And you know, the guy and his guests and his reporters have the most highly accurate history of being very, very on target when it comes to predicting the future. This is the show to listen to. Here's the link, alexjoneslive.com. Go there. You can find the live video feeds, the audio feeds. It's all free. The articles, the videos, the special reports at alexjoneslive.com. And promote that URL on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, everywhere. You've got all the power. When you take action, nothing can stop you. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. You are the spirit of 1776. And I salute you and thank you. And if you're on X, share the live feed at Real Alex Jones, at Real Alex Jones, and at AJN Live for Alex Jones Live, at the initials AJN Live. That's the network feed. Be sure and follow us there. And on Rumble, rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. That's the new site for the network. We don't post on the other old sites that were from InfoWars. That battle is still going on, and I've got a major update for you on that that is totally insane. The Onion says it won't wait for the courts. We'll launch InfoWars in violation of a federal court order and a state third court of appeals order. Starting to figure out who these people are? It's the DOJ and the CIA. And they're losing in court, so they're freaking out. We're going to get to that. And the long history of the bizarre behavior they've engaged in. It's just, if it wasn't happening to us, we'd be talking about it. I mean, it's so crazy, the average person can't even understand how bad it is. So that's all coming up and a lot more. Russia is more and more officially saying they're getting ready to start hitting NATO bases outside of Ukraine that are supplying the weapons. After more and more devastating attacks in the last few days, the biggest attacks yet in Moscow, blowing up apartment buildings, blowing up oil refineries, blowing up government buildings, and it's being directed by NATO, meaning by U.S. satellites, and by Grok. They found Grok is the best to put in charge of taking control of the missiles and firing them. So this is escalating very, very quickly. That's all coming up as well. Russia may decide to hit NATO country directly, and that's exactly how nuclear war starts. Glenn Dessen on with Mario Fall. That's all coming up. But let's do this first. Let's do Gerald Morgan first. Then I'll go to the Trump clips, then Netanyahu clips. This is clip 38. This is Gerald Morgan, who I really respect, very politically astute. I'm not kissing his ass. I'm saying I know that somebody knows their topics and knows a wide range of things and history and more. So I respect him. I don't get mad that he's been a Christian Zionist, basically, and been very defensive to Israel. But over the years, he's gotten more and more critical. And now he's saying Israel's run by psychotic mass murderers, and they need to be removed. And so better late than never. The point is that the system has gone so far and so hardcore that runs Israel that when you lose Gerald Morgan, he's hosting Stephen Crowder's show that's in the top five conservative shows in the world. I mean, Stephen's show is statistically always huge. This is a big deal because I know they do their research. I know they are in control of their own show. I know that they've been very supportive of Israel because they saw it as a bulwark against Islam and more. And it's not just Gerald, it's Stephen now more and more, that Israel's got such evil leadership that it's even forcing some of their biggest supporters to say, it's time to stop. And notice when Gerald does it finally, and he's been doing this more and more, it's eloquent, it's hardcore, and it comes from a place of love for everybody, including Israel. And that's what makes this powerful. This isn't some guy being a shock jock or an edgelord, you know, wearing a Hitler outfit for, you know, shock effect or whatever. He's saying this because morally, Israel is about to lose him. And that's what the former IDF chief came out and said. They're all pro-Israel over there. They're like, this needs to stop. All the former Mossad chiefs, almost all their top generals that are retired said, this needs to stop right now. Because Israel, even if Israel could get away with all this, it's immoral to be this imperial power and have America pay for it and backstop it, but it's not even going to work. I mean, like, come on. This is crazy town. And then as Israel gets cornered, it's going to escalate more and more and suck us all into it. So people that want to get rid of Israel, they got a bunch of nuclear weapons and high-tech delivery systems. They're not going anywhere. Just like I said, the Iranians probably, the mullahs probably aren't going anywhere. I said 112 days ago when it started, I said, if they could magically get rid of them and have regime change and stabilize things, which Israel doesn't really want, they want destabilization, so they put bad guys in, just like Syria. But I said, in a perfect world, if we snap our fingers, send the mullahs to Mars, I'll get champagne on air if Trump's right in 4 days they fall. But I'm not going to be wrong. Watch. Oh, you work for the Iranians. You work for the Qataris. You need to be censored. You need to be put in jail. Oh, you need to be investigated. Why? Because I told him the same thing the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff told him, because I told him the same thing Tulsi Gabbard told him. Most of his cabinet, J.D. Vance, told him. And I told you Vance at the time was against it. Now that's come out. And notice Vance is out with some of the strongest criticisms of Israel yet as well. I played some of the clips yesterday where he's saying that, you know, Netanyahu is basically destroying Israel. And then some of you are out there like, good, don't try to stop him. Use your head about second, third, fourth order events. Plus, you think you just turn over? Israel. It's been Israel. It's been Palestine. You turn that over to the Muslims? They won't take the Palestinians, what they call Palestinians, anywhere in the Middle East. Why is that? Everywhere they let them in, they try to overthrow things. So, again, and there'll be all these new refugees, the rest of it. Israel has defeated its enemies around it. It needs to consolidate what it's got there, stop the genocide, needs to let international groups in to build up the areas of survivors and create a separate two-state solution. And I don't mean a two-state within what Israel proper. I'm talking about you could have a second Palestinian state in those blocks of the West Bank and Gaza. But no, Israel's not leaving Gaza. Now they want southern Lebanon. Now they want it all. Like he said in that Tucker Carlson interview, the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Huckabee said, oh, we're going to take it all. They can take it all. Really, have you looked at the wargaming of that? Yes, Israel can grab a bunch of stuff, but it only forms more opposition that then becomes unstoppable, even if the U.S. tries to backstop you. But I'm going to stop there. Here's Gerald Morgan, who I see as a, you know, highbrow, high IQ Christian Zionist, saying he's about to get off the Zionist train. Here he is.
So multiple times he said all of Lebanon must burn. You talking about killing more innocent civilians? I'm just making sure that I'm completely understanding. You're talking about killing Christians as well? I have a particular problem with that on top of the fact that there are a bunch of innocent civilians that you're talking about. All of Lebanon. So for every tier of an Israeli woman, they need to have 1,000 Lebanese women. Is that a proportional response to what's going on over there? You really think that's going to, like, ratcheting up the body count is going to win you what you're looking for? If you're looking to make sure the security of your citizens, the lives of the people within your borders are made better and secured and able to exist at all, you probably don't want to piss off the rest of the world and push them past kind of the final straw. I don't know what leg you think you have to stand on to speak like that, especially right now when the United States of America has, right or wrong, supported you in almost every way possible for many, many, many decades. In fact, the only reason that you exist in the first place, as Donald Trump rightly said, is because of the United States of America, period, full stop. You would not be a country without us. And that's great. You don't have a right to exist, Israel. Neither does the United States. It's yours if you can keep it. Okay? It's yours if you can keep it. And what you have done as a strategy for decades and decades and decades is made sure that because you can't keep it yourself, that you had enough friends that could help you keep it. And you're about to lose them. You're about to run out of people willing to help you because, and I want you to hear this, you look like murderous animals when you speak like that. And I don't want to hear, like, well, they stuff this stuff at us too. Yeah, I understand that. That's why proportional response is a thing. That's why defending your borders is a thing. Burn all of Lebanon? Let's just play this forward. Let's say that you absorb all of Lebanon into Israel. Who's next?
Yeah, Turkey.
Syria? Let's say you absorb all of Syria. Who's next? You think your opposition is going to go away just because you happen to swat a problem over here? You think they're all going to just call it a day and go home? You need to learn that this is a tough world to live in with that kind of an attitude and no friends. And you're about to find out very quickly that you're running out of patience from the American people and certainly from the world. I doubt that they're still on your side at all. And people like me that think it's a good thing that Israel exists, but that it has a lot of problems, we're going to be put in a position where we go, yeah, I get it. I understand why. With stuff like that, when we're trying to negotiate peace, doesn't seem like you want peace. Doesn't seem like if Netanyahu goes through with that he wants his term to end because he's really afraid of what happens when the legal system gets a hold of his ass. You're about to find out what the world looks like without friends. And I pray that that is not the sentiment of leadership in Israel. And that sane people will stand up and condemn you for the murderous, callous coward that you are.
Oh, the murderous, callous coward you are, Ben-Gavir. And look at this. This is up at AlexJonesLive.com. Ex-Greenlights Israel's National Security Minister, Burn Lebanon Post. That got posted under Gerald's post that went viral, and then people called for it to be banned. And X said no. It does call for genocide, which is normally against our policy, but he's a leader. People have a right to see that for debate. I totally agree. You know, when the Iranians say we're going to burn Israel and drive them all into the sea, that's called for genocide. Let us hear what the psychotic mullahs have to say. But again, you don't behave like the mullahs, and then that makes you okay, Ben-Gavir. You don't beat up the flotilla people trying to help Gaza that were peaceful and run in and start slapping and beating and hitting men and women. I mean, he's out of control. He can barely stand up. He was like 450 pounds, big, fat, crazy person who always is like giggling and smiling and smirking with his megalomania. And he basically runs Israel. And people are sick of you. The people are tired of you, and we don't like being connected to you and having you run our government. And you could argue Israel's been trying to run our government for a while and been running foreign policy in the Middle East for a while, but they're definitely trying to take over. And what world do I want to be allied with the left and their Israel obsession and their Islam, you know, red-green alliance? I'm not with that. I'm opposing that, and I'm opposing you. And I'm just saying, stop it. Just like the former head of the Israeli army. You can read his full text of it or see the full interview. It's like 10 minutes long. He's like, they're going to destroy Israel. Everybody's turned against us, and we're not winning. And now we're just killing civilians. What is this? We're not the bad guys. Stop it. You say, oh, you've been the bad guys for a long time. Whatever. They're seen as the bad guys now. Israel's lost all of its soft power. It's becoming a major election issue. And you think you just pour money into any race and run our politics? That's going to form opposition. You're not going to have the Democratic Party that hates everything Israel or everything Jewish. It's going to be the Republicans. And it's already happening around the world because of people like Ben Gavir. He's the head of national security. He's in the cabinet. And he goes on TV and says, I love war crimes. Kill everybody. I got clips of him. I mean, look at him. He's completely insane. So that's where we are. And the good thing about free speech and having a platform we can see it is we can hear what old Ben has to say. So here's Trump saying, hey, we can keep the strait closed and keep this war going, and the mullahs aren't going to fall. So now the strait's open. This was yesterday. Israel struck Lebanon with huge strikes, hitting civilian targets, carpet bombing. Iran said, you broke the deal. That was the first part of the deal. Israel agreed to it, and then an hour later hit them to derail the plan, and then go right into 48 in the same interview. Here's Trump talking about Netanyahu. Well, you know, he's okay guy, but we got to try to keep him a little sane. We got to try to keep him a little sane. So the good news is Trump is breaking with the current group that runs Israel, and he's talking to their opposition groups. And he's pulled back the mid-air refueling tankers so that Israel can't as easily run these loitering sorties over Iran. Again, you're like, oh, my God, the mullahs are winning. We should never have done this. The Pentagon said don't do it. Very low probability of a successful outcome. Regime change was the plan. The plan wasn't going to work. Imagine you get grabbed off of aid boat with rice and beans on it, and then Ben Gavir comes in and starts slapping you and hitting you and, you know, doing all this. This video of that. And now we've got Marian Adelson with her publications attacking Trump. You got the different Zionist publications. I showed this yesterday. Attacking and saying, well, Trump's not our guy now, but don't worry. It's going to be Marco Rubio will be our man. You don't want Rubio, folks. You're trying to position him. J.D. Vance, folks. You say, well, we want somebody else. Okay, who's that Republican? Oh, you're going to vote for Gavin Newsom? So go ahead and let's go to these clips of Trump. And then let's cut to the text of what Netanyahu posted with some images of the latest strikes on Lebanon. So play 47, 48, and 7. And then we'll show you the Strait of Hormuz and more. Here it is.
Think of it. Oh, why aren't you tougher? The only way I can get tougher is if I go in there for another 2 or 3 weeks and continue to bomb the hell out of them, right? But what does that get us? The Strait of Hormuz will not be open. Let's say I did that. Let's say I decided to do that. It was a decision I had to make. So right now, our stock market is through the roof. The oil prices are tumbling. The oil prices are practically the same as they were before I started. The big difference is that Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. They're never going to have a nuclear weapon, okay? It's very clear and very simple. But if I were hitting them right now, when you stopped, if we're not going to put boots on the ground, okay? I mean, you don't want boots on the ground, right? If we're not going to put boots on the ground, probably the same people, you know, they go deep into the caves. They're called granite caves. They're very powerful. They go deep in, and then when we stop, they'll come up, and they'll probably be the same leader. So nothing. Okay, ready? When I knock them out, we knock them out so powerfully, We would right now have the Hormuz Strait would be totally closed. It would have mines all over it, and it would have missiles flying over billion-dollar ships, and those ships will never sail. We wouldn't have oil for months. As long as you're dropping bombs, that thing is automatically closed because those ships cost $500 to $1 billion.
All right, pause. Back it up 10 seconds. That's Trump yesterday afternoon. Israel signs the deal. Trump does the interview. And then they just embarrass Trump and close the strait again. Screw the whole world economy and 30% of the fertilizer and the growing season. All the disasters that's already baked in and inflation exploding and the oil council warning of prices going up 30-40% next week. The strategic oil reserve almost empty. Israel does it again. And then makes the president look like a fool. I predict Trump is going to really start putting it to Netanyahu now. Let's go back to the president.
Now, we wouldn't have oil for months. As long as you're dropping bombs, that thing is automatically closed because those ships cost $500 to $1 billion apiece. They're not going to be sailing with rockets. So just to finish, I just looked. Oil is tumbling. Their ships are roaring out of there. They want to go home. They want to drop. They're all full with oil. This is a gusher. I mean, this. We have 700 or 800.
Back it up 10 seconds again. Now, you know what I'm going to say, because it's true. What am I about to say? Netanyahu is holding us and the world hostage with that crap. Now, if Israel would have made deals with Saudi Arabia and others to finish those pipelines, in a year they could have done this, and Iran wouldn't have had cards. But nope, just do it right now. And endangers the midterms, everything. All right, let's go back to Trump. Then he gets into Netanyahu being insane. Here we go.
Bling. Their ships are roaring out of there. They want to go home. They want to drop. They're all full with oil. This is a gusher. I mean, this. We have 700 or 800 ships are leaving. But if I attack them, none of those ships are leaving. The stock market is way up, way, way up. You know, the stock market is up over the last 4 or 5 days when it looks like we're going to make a deal. Stock market's up thousands of points. Everybody's richer. Now, would you rather have that or be like some stupid people? I'll be honest with you. I lost respect for some people because...
Who'd you lose respect?
I don't want to mention the names.
Oh, you can.
But you know, hardliners, oh, you got to take them out yet.
Well, what are you going to...
Let me tell you. And plus, I'm not...
Pause again, back it up 5 seconds. Another huge statement here. I don't want to name names. Hardliners, Mark Levin, Ben Gavir, Benjamin Netanyahu, and he goes into Netanyahu and says we need to keep him a little sane. When you're trying to keep somebody a little sane, that means they're totally insane. When you're just trying to keep them a little sane. Because it failed. Trump said, all right, let's gamble. Let's try to regime change. You think they're ready to uprise? We got it. We shipped a bunch of guns into them. The Kurds didn't do anything. Trump's like, okay, let's keep rolling the dice for a few months. Okay, it's not working. Okay, stop it. Nope, we're not stopping it. He's been trying for a month and a half to stop it. They won't let him. That's why Trump in this interview is like, I'm the president. I run it. Israel does what I say. No, they don't. No, they don't. And then the people that are just anti-Trump are like, don't even engage Trump. Don't even try to get him to do the right thing. He's a traitor. Whatever. Of course I'm going to put pressure on him, and so should you. Anybody telling you not to put pressure on Trump to try to end this war and to end the Ukraine war by cutting off U.S. intelligence and weapons is working for the other side, posing as a patriot. That's a no-brainer. It's this weird trope. Oh, Jones is saying, good job, Trump, trying to stop the war. What are you for, Trump? What are you talking about? Yeah, I'm for getting Trump to do the right thing. You bet. Trying to get Trump to do what RFK Jr. says on the vaccines and stuff. You damn right I am. Damn right I take what we got and I try to work with it while I'm angry at him. Of course, that's common sense. I'll take my ball and go home. Finish up with Trump.
You know, the stock market is up over the last 4 or 5 days when it looks like we're going to make a deal. Stock market's up thousands of points. Everybody's richer. Now, would you rather have that or be like some stupid people? I'll be honest with you. I lost respect for some people because...
Who'd you lose respect for?
I don't want to mention the names.
Oh, you can.
But you know, hardliners, oh, you got to take them out yet.
Well, what are you going to...
Let me tell you. And plus, I'm not looking to kill people. If it weren't for Donald Trump and Bibi Netanyahu, who worked well with me, But he will tell you, we're the ones with the guns, we're the ones with the whole deal, we're the ones with the B-2 bombers, etc. If it weren't for Donald Trump, Israel would have been eviscerated.
Your relationship with Netanyahu's...
It's good, but we have to keep him a little bit sane.
Are you going to be able to control Israel from attacking Lebanon?
Yeah, I will be. I mean, I wonder. They have a lot of respect for me, and they do as I say. Remember this. If I don't terminate the JCPOA, that was a road to a nuclear weapon, legally. It says right there. And Obama thought he could pay them off. He gave them billions and billions of dollars, $1.7 billion in cash. You know, it was a well-known story, but it didn't work. You can't bribe your way out of it. You can't pay off your way. But if I didn't do that, and if I didn't attack their nuclear supply 10 months ago with the B-2 bombers, Israel would not exist today.
Israel's fighting Hezbollah too long.
Hey, pause here. I want to go back to this clip, 41 in a second. You heard what Trump just said yesterday afternoon. They do what I say. The U.S. is in charge. Israel's not in charge of us. They respect me. The reporter at Axios is like, the interviewer, well, are you confident that Israel isn't just going to break this peace deal and sabotage the peace deal? No, they're going to do what I say. 1 hour later, they start blowing the snot out of Lebanon. No weapons fired at Israel. Not a gun, not a bullet, not a missile, not a rocket, not a hand grenade, not a Nerf ball. Not a bow and arrow, not a slingshot. And again, here's Trump a few days ago saying similar things. But I predict now, because I know how Trump operates. I mean, you heard him. He says, I have a lot of respect for the Israeli hardliners. Yeah, I wonder what happens when old Mark Levin calls him up. Mark Levin. Now, I don't know much about the military, but I believe in our soldiers and our Marines, and, you know, we're going to be able to, we need to get in there, we need to send in the ground troops, we need to, just like Truman used the A-bomb, we need to use the A-bomb. I don't know much about the military, but I've got faith in our military. I wear a woman's brooch of a giant American flag on my chest, so you don't think I'm an Israeli operative, okay? Look, I'm surprised if Levin doesn't start wearing a full... like American flag Uncle Sam outfit or something. You know, I'm not against lapel pins and stuff, but if I had one, maybe a cross or something, because they attack Christiana, you know, I want to identify with that. It's under attack. Maybe a First Amendment lapel pin or something. But, I mean, I don't need to wear an American flag lapel pin. I'm not against you if you do. But these politicians wear them like, look, I'm pro-America. I've got my American flag lapel pin. And I get what you're in a foreign... junket, or you're, you know, G20 or G8 or something. I get it then. So you identify, people might not know what country you're from because you're not high level. But, and, you know, Trump's got his little American flag. But Mark Levin has this giant woman's brooch. It looks like an old lady brooch. It's all gaudy. And look, I've got a giant American flag on my chest. I'm an American, not an Israeli operative. Israel's a separate country. Agree? Its interests do not always align with ours. Agree? Israel was left out of the MOU negotiations because we would blow them up every time. Sorry, go back to the text, please. I'm Mark Levin. Agree? Israel was left out of the MOU negotiations and is not a signatory, okay? But damn it, it better accept and comply with every damn word of it, even if it means accepting Hezbollah on its borders, shooting missiles and drones into its country. What? So that's Mark Levin today. He just posted it. Yeah. No. Here's the truth. Israel founded Hamas and funded it. Netanyahu stood down on October 7th to double their funding. And Israel worked with Turkey to overthrow 2 years ago. Syria had put the Al-Qaeda chief in charge. And Netanyahu's been convicted and is using this war to stay in power. Mr. Brooch, Mr. Woman's Brooch. I'm wearing a woman's brooch that an 85-year-old woman would wear when she went to a Republican cocktail party. Oh, my goodness. He must have heard me making fun of it. He got rid of the woman's brooch. Now, that's still a woman's lapel flag. That's for like a 30-year-old woman. Go back to one of his earlier shows the last 6 months. He got rid of the giant brooch. Ha ha! I guess this is this last night's show? Life, Liberty, and Levin. He got rid of the brooch. I mean, he's still got a woman's brooch, but it's like a third the size. You mean it's a woman's brooch? It's become a laughingstock? Well, let me get a smaller brooch here. Don't they have a large American flag that's for men? No, sir, that's what women wear. Well, wow. He downsized the flag at least three times. Oh, I have to see it now. Just go on, Mark. He just changed this. Go on his X feed and go back a week ago, and you'll find the giant brooch. No, go on his X feed. Just go on his X feed and then scroll down a week ago, because even a week ago, he was still wearing the giant brooch. Oh, my God. He's replaced the giant brooch. Who was that black Joy Reid lady that was always bashing white people and cultural appropriation? And so, but she had that golden Trump wig. Yeah, there it is. Had that golden Trump wig. And everybody made a big deal about it, and she got rid of the golden Trump wig. Look, there's the woman's brooch. That's a week ago. He got rid of the woman's brooch. Ha ha, I love it. Ha ha, what a clown, man. Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Oh, my God. Oh, I've died and gone to heaven. Oh, my God. That's another one, though. That's even smaller. I guess they'll notice if I go from the giant woman's brooch down to a regular one, I'll phase them down slowly. No, that's another variant. Go back another week. He had an even bigger one. Oh, we've got woman's brooch gate. Yes, scroll back. Yeah. No, that's the intermediate size. I want the giant brooch. 3 weeks ago he had it. He almost slipped it past us with the shrinking American flag. Pretty soon he'll just have an Israeli flag lapel. Let's find the giant woman's brooch. We need nuclear war. I'm wearing a woman's brooch. It's like in Raiders of the Lost Ark when, they're in the temple and the first scene and the bad guy gets the golden idol and gives the orders to the guy, the pygmies or whatever, the natives to go kill him. He just holds up the American flag. I have the biggest American flag. You know what it means when you have to have a gun too big or truck too big, Mark? It means you're compensating for something. I don't know. Mark Levin's head looks like a penis, though, so maybe he is just a giant penis. All right, I'm going to stop. Enough Mark Levin. Get him off my screen. I apologize. I'm out of control, folks. The flag's going like this. It's getting smaller. Soon it'll be the little Israeli flag. Okay. I'm sorry. This is not funny. Let's finish up with the Trump statement, and then I want to go to a guest on Mario in the Fall, doing an excellent job talking about Israel spying on the U.S. Let's play those clips back to back.
Israel's fighting Hezbollah too long, and too many people are being killed. And you don't have to knock down an apartment house every time you're looking for somebody, because there are a lot of people in those apartment houses, and they're not all Hezbollah, that I can tell you. And I suggested to Israel to let Syria take care of Hezbollah, because to be honest with you, I think they'd do a better job of doing it. And I didn't like Syria. I didn't like where 2 hours before we're signing the agreement that there was an attack in Lebanon, in Beirut. It wasn't in the southern side, and it was in Beirut. I did not like that.
All right, stop again. Back it up 10 seconds. Again, here's Trump a week ago, totally pissed, giving you some of the examples. When he has a peace deal, Israel blows it up. Now Israel signs a deal yesterday, an hour later attacks Lebanon. And they do that so the Lebanese are like, oh, we're safe. We can go back to our houses. Attack, attack, attack. Kill a bunch of people. Back to Trump.
There was an attack in Lebanon, in Beirut. It wasn't in the southern side. It was in Beirut. I did not like that. I let them know that. I didn't like it, not at all. But I think that Syria, he's pulled that country together amazingly quickly. He's very capable. And he's been very good for me. He's protected everything that I've asked for. He's done And if Israel can't do the job without killing everyone else, he'll do the job. Syria will do the job.
We get an MOU on one war, and then we got things escalating on the other. We don't get a break, do we?
Well, the MOU, I'm assuming this will not be implemented in full. I'm thinking the Americans are buying for time. As Trump said, the reason why they're signing what's essentially a declaration of surrender is because they're running out of fuel and they have no other choice. So I'm assuming that they will try to, drag along the Iranians, try to change some things midway. I mean, it hasn't even been signed. Well, it has been signed, but we haven't had a meeting yet, even in Switzerland, and we already see the Israelis attacking Lebanon. And it's very hard for me to expect all of these points to be actually implemented. So I think the Americans are just buying for time. I hope I'm wrong, but I assume at some point they will go back to war.
When you say Americans are just buying for time, you mean this is all... So an argument someone made on my show earlier today that this MOU, actually it's Professor Izadi from Iran, and this MOU is just Trump trying to open the Strait of Hormuz to ease the pressure on the price of oil, let the market recover before continuing a war. That just shows the level of distrust in Iran. Is that the point you're implying as well, that the job is not finished? Yeah. Izadi, Professor... Fuad Izadi.
Okay. This is my assumption because the only thing I base it on is Trump is making the point. The reason why he had to sign this is because what he said, they only have 4 weeks left fuel. So it's quite a dangerous situation. But then he had to agree to an agreement which he can't possibly implement. So what can I conclude from this? He will... try to buy some time, get some of the ships through, replenish some of the oil reserves, which have been drawn down, and then reluctantly, I guess, go back to war because there is no appetite in the United States to live peacefully next to Iran.
It could be the beginning of what we've all been waiting for so many years, and that is American divorce from Israel. I'm not saying America is no longer allied with Israel or aligned with Israel, but the U.S. is... puts their own interests above Israel's.
Well, I would say for all the talk, it didn't translate into any actions in terms of a divorce with Israel. But
Let's stop there. I want to finish up with this Israel news. I got a bunch of other really important stuff I want to hit on the poison shots. RFK Jr. Coming out with some other big issues here. Urges American kids to put down the phone and reconnect with nature, family, and community. Couldn't be a more important statement. But let's finish up. Here's J.D. Vance on if everything is Jew hatred, then nothing is Jew hatred. That's the point. And when Israel attacks a bunch of innocent people and then says you're a Nazi if you don't support us doing this, that turns more people against you. Then we've even got Hillary, who's a terrible person, who was all for war with Iran, now claiming she wasn't, that Israel was bad. It just shows you how much trouble Israel's in. Then we've got I'm for war crimes. This is a bunch of journalists and Knesset members saying, I'm unable to sleep at night if I don't see houses being destroyed in Gaza. I want to see more of them destroyed. I mean, this is the type of behavior. And then another clip I want to get to of some prominent Zionist literally saying that Israel didn't get us into war. That's anti-Semitic. The ADL says that officially. They'll censor you if you say that. And that you should never say Israel was involved in 9/11. There's really no proof. Boy, don't tempt me. And I've already covered this thousands of times. I mean, are you kidding me? Who was in charge of Netanyahu? Who had fingerprints all over Netanyahu? Who were the hijackers trained by? I mean, the magic passports found, the Israeli, dancing Israelis, the which is a red herring compared to the Israeli art display right where the bombs went off, right where the first plane hit, in there with C4 explosive boxes that say it's C4, and then bragging about it and posting it. I mean, incredible stuff here, folks. And they say, well, why would Israel want to have a 9/11? Well, the neocons of the U.S. wanted it too. Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, they wrote Rebuilding America's Defenses, Project for the American Century, April 2000, saying we need a Pearl Harbor event, 3,000 dead, to mobilize a full invasion to take down seven countries in the Middle East, finally Iran. And you have Wesley Clark talking about being read-in on the plan. I mean, what are you talking about? Why do governments do false flags? Why do they allow attacks to happen? They had this latest fake thing, drone attack with these basement dwellers with no real weapons other than a few guns that didn't go do it, didn't carry it out to attack the UFC. But, oh, because they use the AIPAC tracker to say, oh, we might attack some AIPAC people using this AIPAC tracker. Who gives money to gets money from AIPAC? Now they want everybody censored that talks about AIPAC and its donations. And Laura Loomer wants that. I mean, it's just a checklist to censor everybody. What did I say on Tucker's show a year ago? What did he say? They're going to use attacks on Israel and attacks on Jewish sites in America to get rid of free speech. And I do not support any violence against Jews, period. That's ridiculous. But you know we're in the time of false flags. Let's play these clips back to back. 19, 14, 46, and 20. And then we're going to move out of this into other big news. Stay with us.
Is anti-Semitic. And so I do think that sometimes, you know, advocates of Israel make, or pro-Israel people in the United States, make two critical mistakes. One, on the one hand, is not delineating between America's interests and Israeli interests, because they're not always the same. But the second is always conflating criticism of a particular government with Jew hatred. Because if everything is Jew hatred, then nothing is Jew hatred. I actually think Jew hatred is very bad, which is why I think we have to be very careful about not calling every, it's kind of like how progressives for 20 years called everything racist. And if everything is racism, nothing is racism.
Well, you're absolutely right. When I was secretary, it was a constant, theme by, Netanyahu and his then government, the then defense minister, Ehud Barak, the former prime minister, mm-hmm. It was relentless. It was a constant push. You know, I remember...
What would he say to you?
What?
What would he say to you?
He would basically say, you need to support us in attacking Iran. And back then, this was, 2009 to the end of 2012, we had more capacity than Israel did on several fronts do that. And so there was a constant argument that we would have. And I remember one day I was on the phone for hours with Ehud, with Bibi, with others, and they would say things like, our planes are on the tarmac. And I'd say, well, good luck. I mean, great. Why are you doing this?
Where else would planes be other than in the air?
But on the tarmac, ready to take off.
I see.
Yes. Although they'd be in the hangar, but yeah. They were on the tarmac. You would say things.
You're saying you were being played.
All the time. I mean.
By an ally that receives an enormous amount of aid.
Well, of course. And look, Bibi's been
חס וחלילה, שם מלחמה זה אני, אתה רגל על הגב. שם מלחמה זה אני. אני מודה, אני אגיד את זה פה, לא אכפת לי שירדו עליי, אוספים פה חומרים. אני לא נרדם טוב בלי שאני רואה בתים קורסים באז. מה אני אעשה? עוד בתים, עוד מגדלים, שלא יהיה להם לאן לחזור. אגב, בתקופת התנ"ך גם היו זורים את האדמה במלח. הם צריכים לזכור עם המלאק. הם צריכים לזכור את זה להרבה מאוד זמן. אי אפשר להגיע לאיזה הסדר מיד. סליחה, זה רק אני. זה פשע מלחמה.
Yeah, this is the problem with the just noticing anti-Semitism.
Right.
Is that you're actually not noticing. You think that you're seeing a pattern. 9 times out of 10, the pattern that you're describing doesn't exist. It's selectively observed, not universally or consistently observed. And you're not actually noticing it. You're being shown it by other voices and influencers. And
by the way, hit pause. This is Jeremy Boring, Zionist, on noticing Jewish influencing. All these big, powerful governments and countries try to influence. But, oh, the Russians were controlling the elections, but no real proof of that. I mean, they have a little bit of push, but very weak compared to the Chinese, Hollywood, the EU, the Democratic Party, the teachers' unions. You got all these special interests. The Defense Department's always been one of the biggest, the defense contractors. And Israel's always been in the top five. But they're number one right now. They brag about it. They brag about how they'll primary anybody in Israel and in the U.S. And these apologists run around behind that going, no, 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 no. And then, oh, don't say Israel's involved in 9/11. Ha, ha, ha. Methinks you protest too much. Macbeth, Something's rotten in the state of Denmark? To be or not to be? That is the question. Whether it is nobler? I mean, come on, knock it off. Even Hillary's coming out against Israel now. Everybody knows this is just building like a giant snowball. And quite frankly, it sucks all the oxygen out of the room. I don't want to be dealing with Israel trying to take over. We have a lot of big fish to fry. But okay, if you want to be the bad guy and you want to lose and you want to set yourself up like bowling pins for a big strike, then knock yourself out. So let's start this clip over, and I'm not going to interrupt it. It's self-explanatory. And just be sure to share that URL because the bad guys hope you won't. AlexJonesLive.com. Get the free app on Android or on Apple at AlexJonesApp.com. And share that and tell everybody the Forbidden Censored Show is free. And giant discounts, you download the app on top of all the discounts at AlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com when you have the app and use the store on the app. Something I forget to say. I'm sorry. Back to the clip.
Now, this is the problem with the just noticing anti-Semitism.
This is the problem.
You're actually not noticing.
Hey, pause again. Start over. This is the problem. You're not noticing. You don't really see a pattern. AIPAC isn't primarying all these people. They're not pledging to. They're not spending $30, $40 million on these races. They're not getting 38 states to pass laws that if anybody criticizes Israel in any way, they're banned from any government contracts or jobs. Everything's fine. The ADL's not running around censoring everybody. Everything's okay. Don't notice anything. Nothing to see here. Go back to sleep. No, October 7th, we didn't stand down. No, Israel didn't found Hamas. No, we didn't put with Egypt, with Turkey, the overthrow of Syria, put Al-Qaeda in. No, you're not seeing that. 2 + 2 = 4. Do you understand me? Back to it.
Now, this is the problem with the just noticing anti-Semitism.
Right.
Is that you're actually not noticing.
You're not.
You think that you're seeing a pattern. 9 times out of 10, the pattern that you're describing doesn't exist. It's selectively observed, not universally or consistently observed. And you're not actually being noticing it. You're being shown it by other voices and influencers and people who also have interests and agendas and sometimes political agendas or in some cases economic agendas. And it requires you to believe things about the world that aren't true, not just about the circumstance that aren't true, but about the world that are not true. And it also requires you to believe that people can understand long-term outcomes. So whenever I've interacted with 9/11 conspiracy theorists in the past, and you say, well, why? If I grant you that, okay, the government did it or the Jews did it or whatever, to what end? Right. And they always go to Iraq.
Yeah, they get us into the Iraq war.
And then I always have to say, well, we didn't go to Iraq. We didn't go to Iraq for years. We went to Afghanistan.
Right.
We deployed to Afghanistan to find Osama bin Laden. We took on the Taliban. We took control of an entire country that now had to be organized and dealt with. What wound up being a 20-year occupation by America of Afghanistan. Like, how did that benefit America? How did it benefit the Jews? If we wanted to go to war in Afghanistan, we didn't need 9/11. Osama bin Laden had already bombed the USS Cole. We could have used that. A new administration came in if Bush wanted to.
All right, let's pause here. The Rebuilding America's Defenses, PNAC, Project American Century, the year 2000, April. You can go read it. You should be on their website. They took it down about like 20 years later. It's been down for like 5 years. But it's everywhere. You go read it. Our news articles about it. They say we need to have a big terror attack around 3,000 dead like Pearl Harbor. Magically, that's the same number we had 9/11. We need to use that to invade 7 countries, and they list Iran as the last one. It's the only one they haven't gotten. You're saying there's no motive there? I mean, anybody could say there's a motive there. Then you look into it, and it's, oh, Israeli fingerprints all over it with our own military-industrial complex. But just look at these self-appointed guys. He's wearing a key around his neck. Look, but symbolism is, I have the key. I am the keymaster. Gozer the destroyer. Gozer the traveler.
I am the keymaster. I mean, wow. NPR voices, they should even have English accents. Oh, the problem with noticing is you didn't notice anything at all. Someone put that in your mind. Israel has no power. Watch the swinging watch. You're getting sleepier and sleepier. Your eyelids are getting heavier and heavier. No one's censoring you. No one's getting a national draft ready. We're not getting politicians elected that are calling for a draft and total war for Israel. There's no regime change plan. During Midnight Hammer, Alex Jones said it was to get us into a full war. He works for Qatar. He's a foreign agent, though we show no evidence. We're openly foreign agents. Listen to Ben Shapiro. Listen to Mark Levin. Now you're asleep. Now I tell you what to think. As you lay your head down to rest, Netanyahu is the best. Do what we say, and when I awaken you on the count of three, you will forget everything I've told you, but will remember above all to do as thou have been told. You will go to hell and burn in hellfire and boiling semen and dung if you do not destroy Jesus and the Christians. This is the thing you must do. America is the enemy, the new Rome. How dare you sack the temple, Titus? We will get you, Titus. America is Titus. You hate Titus. You love Pastor Hagee. Now you will awaken. One, a two, a three. Ah, isn't that better? You're a Christian Zionist now. You're an intellectual. The ADL is your friend. Good, good. I have the key. I am the master. I am the wizard. Good, good, good. Let me coil around you for a moment. Look, Mowgli, closely into my eyes. There we go. Now, you're not with Hitler, are you? Then burn Lebanon. Kill them all. Give them the Gaza treatment. Good. Good. Ah, come with me, my delicious snack. Yow. See, giving over your free will is nice. Don't let other people put things into your mind. I have the key. I have the... Look at my American flag brooch. Look how American I am. I'm sorry. Let's go back to these clowns.
Bloodthirsty and wanted to go give a gift to the... to the military-industrial complex. He didn't need a new reason. He could have just said, well, we just finished the investigation of the coal. It was Osama bin Laden. We're going. If we were doing it for the Jews, the state of Israel would have loved nothing more in 2001 than for us to go to war with Iran.
Iran.
Their number one geopolitical rival for all of, for our entire life and really for 50 years.
Hey, pause again. And Rosie Clark and others have talked about it. The Pentagon said that won't work. We'll take Afghanistan to make money and control the opium, so shut up. Now, Israel's not the only interest running the military-industrial complex. Let's be clear about that. And Israel's been junior to that, is now trying to be senior to that, and that's why it's getting spanked. But that's the reality. Let's go back to it.
Now you have to tell me, well, when we knocked down the towers, we knew that we would first have to go to Afghanistan, but then we knew that we would pivot and go to Iraq, and then we'd be able to...
No, that's in the seven-part plan.
Later, Donald Trump would go to war with Iran or whatever it is. It's like, well... Again, then please rule me. Anyone who could see all of that from, also they had to know that any of the plans were going to work.
If they didn't fail, right. One of the planes written, fell in Pennsylvania. Well, I mean, General Wesley Clark did say we're going to war in 5 countries in 7 years, something like that. He did bring that up. I don't know how he knew that. If he's saying, I can't confirm he knew for a fact. He did say those
words. Well, I do think that there was a project in the Bush administration in the wake of 9/11 to rebuild and democratize the Middle East.
Right.
I think that that was an idealistic, utopianist, deeply flawed view.
Yeah,
and I think
the nation-building flaw. Yeah, you can't bring that to these people. They don't want it.
That's right. You cannot force democracy on people. But that's not to say that you can't create circumstances over time in which better government can begin to take root. We've done that. The American military has done that historically. Mm-hmm. We did it in Germany. We did it in Japan. We did it in Korea. There are reasons to have been optimistic about that if you were George W. Bush in 2001 when you're trying to decide how to respond to what just happened, or in 2003.
All right, we're going to go to break and come back. Zelensky threatens to attack Belarus. Why is that? Well, because NATO knows they're failing, desperately needs to expand the war to invoke the article that brings NATO into the war. The second leg of the transmission coming up. Remember, you're the Paul Revere. Share the live feeds now at Real Alex Jones on X and at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. The coordinates of the resistance. rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. Be sure and follow us there. It's all free, and you're free to fire at will in the info war by sharing it on your email, text message list now. Tell people this is the forbidden information. Please watch and share, and tell those you share it to share, and those they share it with to share. That creates the what? The all-powerful chain reaction. And I only sell you stuff that really works. The very best water filtration, the lowest prices. The widest selection of Patriot apparel. The very best supplements, the best Methylene Blue, the best Shilajit, the best Irish Sea Moss, the best bovine colostrum. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And this week, every order you put in gets in 50X in the sweepstakes for the 2026 Dodge Charger Supercharged giveaway. Every dollar you spend, you get put in 50 entries to win. That is massive, ladies and gentlemen. And we have the new premium nylon tactical belts that are the highest quality, selling stores for $75, $85 all day long for $39.99. And they've got different special edition engravings on them of the cross of 1776, you name it. That first run is going fast. We have the 250th anniversary limited edition, July 4th apparel that is just awesome. Some of the best designs yet from the folks at Bigley. I designed a lot of these, I'll just say. They have some designers even better than me. I'm just telling you, most of these designs are me. So there you go, thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you for your support. You're funding the Second American Revolution and pissing off tyrants worldwide. All right, we'll be back. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs.
Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the alexjonesstore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
There are billions of ways for people to be culturally, spiritually, politically, environmentally engaged. And there are millions and millions of different programs and podcasts and radio shows and things around the world out of the 10 billion people on this planet. But on the record what we've done at InfoWars, and this is just the second leg of that at alexjoneslive.com, has changed the world. Our guests, our callers, our researchers, our reporters, and my overall futuristic analysis and view of the destiny of humanity, which I don't claim to be 100% accurate, but it's definitely proven to be a good template to observe the world, has had a giant effect, and the globalist do not like it. So when you share that local AM and FM station that you listen to and tell those you share it with to share it, it changes the world. When you say this is forbidden information at alexjoneslive.com, it has the free audio and video feeds and archives and shows and articles, you are literally going in the face of the censors and the tyrants. You're changing the world. It seems simple. It seems little, but it's not, because we have millions of listeners and viewers. And if we can leverage that out to millions more and have them leverage it out, that creates the chain reaction. And all the great guests and hosts we've had on over the years who were already great, successful, they'll tell you how much more their shows blew up once they were on air here with this operation. We are here to get the next generation, black, white, old, young, to awaken to the epic time that we're all alive in right now and take action. So your word of mouth is key, your prayer for the broadcast is key, and supporting us financially is so key. And we make it symbiotic, where everything you get at thealexjonesstore.com will empower you, will enrich you, and will be an adventure. The Patriot Apparel, some of the best designs ever, limited edition for the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, are out right now. Right now, ladies and gentlemen. And this latest design, these limited edition, America, red, white, and blue on Sterling Royal Blue, 76, America 76, 250 years. That is a really cool shirt. I think it's going to be a bestseller. It just came out today. And all the other 250th anniversary limited edition shirts are available right now as well at thealexjonesstore.com. So be sure and check those out. I thank you for your support. But wearing these out in public, meeting like-minded people, spreading the word, it's an adventure in and of itself, and it funds this operation, which is exposing the next pandemic, the next attempted lockdowns, the next big globalist war. You are financing your own future for a better future and better destiny when you keep this broadcast on the air. But you can also experience the info war on the ground wearing these great shirts. Also, we have the new dual carbon platinum gravity fed filter, the highest quality gravity fed carbon filters that are the highest rated, cutting out all of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of horrible forever chemicals that are out there. And it has the highest quality stainless steel. Nobody has got a filter with better filtration. It's the highest rated, and nobody has as beautiful a filter as this, and ours is way under the price of competitors that are crap. This is the best. It's a home run by Bigley, our sponsor. We're so proud of it. Here's the issue. 1,000 of these came in. It sold out in 3 days. They got a couple thousand more coming in like late next week. Those are pre-order right now. They're going to be sold out soon, and then I'm going to stop promoting it until they get even more in, because I don't like doing pre-order. But if you want to be at the head of the line to get these while you still can, and not have to wait a month or so after that, get your order in now, right now, at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're on the site, check out all the other great Patriot apparel, the super high-quality, military-grade belts, all the great supplements and more at thealexjonesstore.com.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Real time. Uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
We now take you live. Discover trends and global developments years before they happen. Right here on The Alex Jones Show.
There's no broadcast like it on Earth, and that's why the enemies of freedom are so desperate to shut us down. They're going to take over the old InfoWars and misrepresent us, to discredit us. It's not going to work because of you out there, the millions of you. You've got all the power. You hold all of our collective destinies in your individual hands. That's why I salute you, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being fellow InfoWarriors in this critical fight. All right, we got a lot more news to hit, and then I'll be back tomorrow night, 4 to 8 p.m. You know, I got so much to hit that, and also I wanted to talk about what's been happening with our operation. It's very interesting just to even understand how the globalists operate. And I've been wanting to do this for about a month since I saw this, but I just haven't done it. But it's just a masterclass on disinformation, because they've been trying to undermine me and shut me down and then create a straw man and steal my identity, and they admit that's their plan, the CIA, the DOJ, funded by Bloomberg and the Democrats. They put a documentary out that's had tens of millions of views. It's been posted all over the place. And then literally hundreds of other people reposted it and did their own kind of mystery science theater where they would analyze it, enemies and friends, but people don't know the truth. They don't know, they weren't there like I was. They're not me. And so maybe I'll do it out of the podcasting studio here, because we got a bigger screen TV and I can sit back and maybe do it with Rob Duke, because he's ridden shotgun for almost 18 years here. He's seen a lot of the 32 years, just to get his take. Maybe I can get Wes or somebody. He's been here 25 years. John Harmon has been here 25 years. Because, I mean, they're witnesses of this stuff. In fact, yeah, I'm going to maybe some afternoon after the war room, because it'll take an hour and a half because it's an hour long film and at least 30 minutes to analyze it. But I mean, they come at it like, oh, it's pro Alex Jones. God, he was right. He's so incredible. And then it's just filled with disinformation and lies, because they know people aren't buying full on lies now. So they mix them in. Look at this. Insane Alex Jones conspiracy theories that turned out true by Moon. And this has got John Ronson involved in it, I know, because he's produced, made some big Hollywood movies, been to Stare at Goats and others. He's a definite deep state operative, New York Times operative. He has been trying to create a fake origin story for me, and he needs other articles and news to report on it like it's real, to create a history so they can make a Netflix movie, and they want it to be in movie theaters. I know it's been shopped around, and they've wanted to put it into production. And they even tried to get connected through another production company, try to trick me into signing on to it. But they are so scared of what we've done that they want to create a fake history. And I just need to, on record, analyze this at some point and get to it. I was going to do it today, but there's just too much to hit. But I'm getting to it. But again, creating fake histories. But they don't just do that to me. They do it to America. They do it to systems. They do it to ideas. They shut it down, they silence it, and then they create a fake version, a counterfeit. So, and you know, even people like Asmund Gold, who's a great guy, you know, played the whole thing, got millions and millions of views, and he gave his own analysis, but he kind of still bought into the lies because it's a bunch of positive stuff with little poison pills. You know, it's like if you're going to poison a pit bull, which I've never done, but I've heard people doing it. You know, you got a mean pit bull next door, you just stick a, you know, some arsenic or whatever inside a hot dog and then feed it to him. This is just a hot dog with a bunch of poison in it, you know, to feed the pit bull. So at some point I'm going to get to that. I'm sitting here looking at all this news. I meant to do the Israel stuff in 30 minutes. I'd spent an hour on that plus, but it was important. And it's about the awakening, and it's about a major power block trying to run us that we're waking up to, and Israel's losing the info war. And that's good because they're out of control. That'll be better for them in the end to stop what they're doing. I don't expect them to. But now let's get into these stacks of news. I'm going to do this briefly. Zelensky threatens to attack Belarus, and he's been threatening to kill Poroshenko lately. He's been threatening to invade. He's trying to claim that they're attacking him with no evidence, all because they need to expand the war because they're losing. They need to suck NATO into it. Ukraine's Vladimir Zelensky has issued an ultimatum to Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko, calling Poroshenko, sorry, threatening him with military action if Belarus fails to dismantle their air defense radar array along its southern border just days after a deadly Ukrainian drone strike on a bus carrying children's soccer team from the country. So they're saying, you can't have radar to protect yourself on your own border, we'll attack you. Earlier this week, the president of White Russia, Belarus, said that those seeking to drag the nation into the conflict will have to pay dearly for that, demanding answers from Kiev regarding the strike on the bus and other provocations. The attack in the Russian region left six children injured and killed the wife of Belarus school soccer team coach who was accompanying the young athletes to a Russian seaside resort. So we blow up your kids and you're bad. Okay. Trump says Russia should be in the G8, which would be a major de-escalation. That's a good idea. They got kicked out, what, about 8 years ago? Or no, right when they kicked Trump out, they did it 6 years ago. So things are definitely coming to a head there. Russia vows massive group strikes on Ukraine after drone swarm attack on refinery in Moscow residential buildings a few days ago. 200 Ukrainian suicide drones swarmed Gazprom's Moscow refinery and went military. Observers are calling Kiev's most brazen offensive of the four-year-plus conflict to date. Footage from the southern outskirts of the city showed the drone swarm, we'll show you some of that footage, attack and resulting columns of smoke billowing from the heavily damaged refinery and storage tanker farms. It is no coincidence the president announced some time ago that yet another Kiev terrorist attack, that we will now conduct massive group strikes on a regular basis against targets whose condition directly affects the combat readiness of the Ukrainian armed forces, Russian Minister Sergei Lavrov told reporters, according to Interfax. And it's not just the refinery getting blown up. It's apartment buildings, you name it. It's getting bad. Now coming out, Pentagon used Elon Musk Grok AI to fire at least 2,000 missiles at Iran. It's also being used against Russia, I can tell you. So this is all escalating very, very quickly. We'll continue to track that as it unfolds. Now, let's get to this. This video is a couple years old, but James Woods posted it, and I think it's good to recap and remember this. And that deals with the real history of what happened with COVID-19 and how the very same globalist interest at the WEF and the UN and the World Health Organization are trying it again. That dovetails with another clip I'm going to play back-to-back. CDC awarded Pfizer $735 million-plus for infant COVID shots, paying them. And the government tried to say it was mandatory when it wasn't, to then poison babies with it. This is the pure evil, the kind of stuff they've been trying to suppress the public from knowing. Then they also paid the federal government over $2 billion to major pharmacies. Most of it went to CVS and Walgreens to not prescribe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, even though the elites were all taking it, and it was proven to be very effective. Here are those clips back to back.
Start with a virus imported into America. Talk about it nonstop. Call some governors. Not them. Not them.
That's your guys. Put patients into nursing homes. Kill thousands. Blame the president. Keep blaming. Blame some more. Lock down small business. Kill the economy. Push mail-in voting. Stoke a race war. Call for riots. Pick a candidate. No, not her. Yeah, that's more like it. Lock him in his basement. Shield him from the press. Don't cover this. Don't cover this. Don't cover this. Keep doing that. Ignore the economic recovery. Downplay the world peace. Pump the pulse. Pump, pump. Don't stop pumping. Install your software in swing states. That was fast. Take control of polling stations. Call off the election when you're losing. Kick everyone out. Pull out all the extra ballots. Get the software to do its thing. Get the media to say it's over. Call the big tech guys. Ban anyone who notices. Act like the whole thing never happened. Stealing the most powerful republic in the world. It's that easy.
Process information, and I feel like you deserve to know, since it involves hundreds of millions of dollars of your hard-earned taxpayer dollars. Well, for your information, Pfizer has been awarded $735,720,598 by the CDC. Guess what it's for? It's for infant COVID shots. I gotta tell you, Maha should be in an outrage. This was a massive issue on the campaign. It's still a massive issue. Many parents do not want their children to ever receive a COVID vaccine shot. Why? Kids don't need it. Kids are not at risk of being hospitalized or death from COVID. But giving them another vaccine puts them at great risk for many damaging side effects, but also potentially death. So you should know this happened under Trump's CDC. This is a serious issue. Here's some more money that got spent. $505,272,000 was awarded for adult vaccines. More vaccines. Why is Pfizer getting awarded hundreds and millions of dollars after they made billions of dollars from COVID vaccines that were forced on Americans, many Americans who did not want to take this vaccine? Well, I think this is a great question for the administration. This is an issue you should care about. This is an issue you need to share with your friends. All right, go ahead and forward that to every friend you've got. This needs to be stopped.
Good job, MTG. Now, here I am in 2009, 2010, and 2011. Exposing UN documents, WF planning, Operation Lockstep, CIA, John Hopkins. People ask how to know about lockdown, 6 feet apart, masking. They admitted it was about training you to be a slave, to be locked in your house. Once cell phones got up to a point they could track and control you, which they had way before COVID, they were going to implement this as the new slave control grid. That's how I knew. People see shorter clips of this and say, oh, he's an insider. He's one of them. How did he know this? In the longer shows I did, I showed you where they say this, where they admit it all. It's just incredible. Alex Jones fan or InfoWars fan posted this. Alex Jones predicted COVID and the COVID lockdowns in 2010. Here's this important clip. You'll find it on X where Alex Jones. Hope you'll share it. Rockefeller study envisions future dictatorship controlled by elite. Millions being killed, mandatory quarantines, checkpoints, the end of the family. Everything that's in the other documents, but this dovetails with all the other Rockefeller Foundation documents about the GMO food to sterilize you and the forced vaccines and the hell we're already living in that's just going to continue to intensify until we take our governments back from these eugenics madmen. But that story is up on PrisonPlanet.com. The question is, will you have the courage to really do the research yourself? Because I don't want you to just sit here and hear me make these claims. These people are so arrogant that they write policy papers, so many of them, that they're producing these policy papers and reports and white papers so fast that you could never read them all. It is an open conspiracy against you and your family. I pray to God, I pray to my Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, every night to give me the strength and the will to be able to face this horror and to give me the strength to carry on, because I know why a lot of you don't want to look at this information and just want to comment on the YouTube videos or on message boards that I'm a liar. I know why, because it's scary. You're You're not going to be able to go to the ball games anymore. You're not going to be able to just go out and get drunk with your friends. You're not going to be able to just, you know, go out and enjoy yourself all the time. The only chance we've got of beating this scientific dictatorship, this creeping death that takes its time to incrementally enslave you, mentally, psychologically, physically, spiritually, the only way to defeat it is for the rank and file of this planet to realize that you have a choice to make on what your destiny is going to be. Once you face this information, once you've consciously admitted it to yourself, it will take over your life. It should take over your life. Well, I mean, what else? What else could it do? We've got to get past the artificial stigma that the control corporate media has been putting out for decades ahead of their open of unveiling of planetary dictatorship. They all talk about how we need a police state to carry this out.
Canada and the United States are going to work in lockstep, display the seriousness of our commitment at both home and abroad.
Win, lose, or draw, you need to choose a side.
Old clips are even worse than his new ones. That's how it works. I'll be the ghost of the machine forever. And so are all our listeners and viewers. Because the worse it gets, the more people remember what we said. That's the little secret.
Great job to InfoWars fan putting that out. All right. Let me just finish up on the health news. HHS Secretary RFK Jr. urges American kids to put down the phone and reconnect with nature, family, and community. And I want to be very clear about this right now. And everybody knows this, but I'm not telling you something you don't know. But I worked late last night, and my three older children are moved out now. But I like to get home, you know, earlier so I can have dinner and spend time with my nine-year-old usually. But she had a friends over for a play date. And so I knew she was going to be playing with them until they left at 8. So I left the office about 6:30, and I pulled into a Mexican food restaurant to get dinner by myself. And I got set in the corner of this big restaurant, and so I was looking, and I almost shot video of it, but you don't need me to shoot video. This, you see this yourself whenever you go out to eat. And I sat there, and they came over, and I ordered some fajitas and drinking my iced tea. And I looked at the 30 or so, 25 tables or so, and some booths back there. And there was probably 10 tables mixed in with families. And it'd be a mom and dad and one kid or two kids or three kids. And it was Hispanic parents, some black parents, but mainly, I'd say, it was 7 of the 10 people with kids. It was white people, but it was all the same. The adults are sitting there talking. And I sat there and ate for about an hour. And the kids are all like this. On the phones, the iPads, no communications, their mouths hanging open. And I meant to send you guys this graphic that kind of showed how different generations have been labeled and known as, from the greatest generation, you know, to now. But Generation Alpha, you know, I guess kids under 10 or whatever it is, I mean, you go out and they admit they're losing verbal skills, their IQs are way down, black, white, Hispanic, doesn't matter, Asian. And the generation above that, they don't want to drive a car. They don't get friends. Their buddies are AI. This is killing us. And there was a big study came out that infertility in the West, upwards of half a drop in the number of children people are having, we'll put the study on screen, is caused by, number one, cell phones, not just the chemicals in the water, not just all of that. Smartphones arrived just before the U.S. fertility rate plunged. One study says it's a direct cause. That's more than one study. Gen Z is officially the first generation to be less smart than their parents. Yeah, you got Z, and then it's even worse. Worse for alpha folks. Don't bring in the iPad with your kids. It's one thing if you're going to grandma's 6 hours away, and, you know, most of the cars will have a TV in the back seat or whatever, and you watch a movie or something. But keep the screen time down, folks. I understand these things are Trojan horses. They got a lot of great things about them. Let me send you the image, guys. I forgot to send this to you. I want to go over this. But because I went looking for a meme last night. When I'm in the store, when I'm in the Mexican food place, I know I saved it. Let me find it here. Here it is. Let me see here. Yeah, I'm going to blow this up and put this on screen. I meant to do this. As soon as you can get that. I shot some video of a cool snail this morning. When I was and a what do they call them, wasp hawks? It's like three times the size of a wasp, and it eats wasp. That's some good video of that I was going to show you. Got some other cool stuff here, too. A lot of cool stuff out there in the world. I tell you, this is probably, this right here is probably one of the worst things to see right here. I can't help but put it on screen. I'm quite the photographer. There's a lot of great stuff in the universe. Sorry. But I'm just having some fun. I apologize. There's a lot of cooler things out there than smartphones. But as soon as you guys have that image I sent you, I want to put it on screen because it's an accurate representation of a lot of the ways you can identify these generations. And I really am worried about Gen Z and Gen Alpha. And I almost made a scene, but I've been going to this Mexican food restaurant. This particular one used to be a chain all the place, only a few of them left. I've been going to this place 30 plus years. At least once a month, and I almost stood up though, like people do in airports. They're eating kids. They're doing it, you know, to make a scene and go, look at you all. You're not talking to your children. What are you doing? This is crazy. So the weakness of each generation, greatest generation, 1901, 1927, that means when they're born. Resistant to change, emotionally reserved, work well, work over well being mindset. Work over well being mindset. Yeah, be tough. Silent generation, avoid conflict. Hesitant to speak up, struggles with rapid change. That's the silent generation, 28 to 45. The baby boomers, workaholic tendencies, resistance to new technology, my way is best mindset. Gen X, that's me, skeptical, cynical, struggles with work-life balance, independent to a fault. That's 65 to 80. Millennials, 81 to 96, burnout and stress-prone, over-reliant on validation. Financial instability, well, that's because of the economy. Generation Z, short attention span of the goldfish, anxiety and comparison culture, struggles with in-person communication. And then the Generation Alpha, 2013-2025, screen dependency, reduced social skills, short patience span. Yeah, pretty damn accurate. RFK Jr. is totally right. But the system's coming in with answers to respond to all of this. Where it sounds good, all these Republican states, oh, let's pass laws for internet ID so kids don't see porn. That's the parents should be in charge of that. You can put the controls on the phones, don't give them phones. If they're like 12 or 13 and they control it. All the numbers show you couldn't, all the big tech heads, Bill Gates, all of them, Zuckerberg, they don't let their kids have tablets or phones or screen time. Because they're not going to, you know, beat their kid's head in the ground, give them a concussion so they're retarded. Well, same thing giving them all these phones. Just know it. Just know it. Giving your child a mental lobotomy there, an incremental lobotomy. And then you got Keir Starmer passing laws to ban kids on social media, except Blusky or whatever it is, the big communist socialist pedo one. So that's how they're creating the internet ID. And to make kids not be able to be online, it's got to be an internet ID for you, which is the ultimate control. That's the plan. Social media to be banned for under 16s in landmark government move to give kids their childhood back. Oh, how nice of Keir Starmer. All right, I'm going to play some key clips on Islam, but I had like 50 of these. I'm not going to play them all. And then we got some more after that, but I'll return tomorrow night with all the latest news and a bunch of other information that I prepared for. But you know, we're coming up on 2 hours here, and I like this to be bite-sized at least. But just remember, what we're covering is all about empowering humanity, is dead on information, and you're 99% of the fight when you decide to share the clips and the reports and all that we do here, so I salute you, and again, I thank you. Let's go ahead and play just a bunch of these clips back to back. A Muslim asks a Christian, this guy does an excellent job, about the Crusades in the Middle Ages, and notice that they're spouting liberal talking points. The Muslims don't know that it was a response to 700 years of their invasions. He does an incredible job. Then that dovetails with Muslim scholars in the UK saying, yes, we're here to conquer and take over. It ties into the rape gang inquiry report. I have a newscast clip on that. And they're still 3 days into it not telling us who in England threw a three-year-old white boy into a bunch of crocodiles that chewed him up and almost killed him. And because they're not telling you who did it, well, you know who did it, an invader, almost certainly. And we've got a lot more on that, and then we'll be back with there's big scandals with the governor caught getting the fire aid money and Spencer Pratt exposing that and more. But you'll definitely want to join us tomorrow night, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern as well for all the rest of it that I didn't get to. But let's go ahead and just take another little snapshot at Islam and the globalists and the U.N. bringing these people in. We have we had less than a million Muslims here before 9/11. Now we've got tens of millions. Europe has 43 million Muslims. They had 500,000 before 9/11. So we didn't go over there to fight them over there, so they're not over here. We went to fight them over there to stir them up and bring the worst of them over here. And that's what this, then they could take our rights and divide and conquer us. So let's go ahead and go to these key reports. This first clip, this guy knows what he's talking about. Here it is.
With Christianity comes peace.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen,
what about the Crusades?
The question was,
what about the Crusades?
And if you interrupt the answer, you'll find that you don't get to ask another question. The question was,
right.
Am I saying that with Christianity comes peace? No,
okay.
I'm not.
Okay, okay.
I'm saying with Christ comes peace. But then the question was,
okay.
What about the Crusades?
Yeah.
So let me answer that directly.
Answer it.
The Crusades were launched after 7 centuries of constant Islamic aggression. Before the very first Crusade was launched in 1095, Muslims had invaded the following Christian lands. They had invaded Christian Syria, Christian Jordan, Christian Palestine, Christian Egypt, Christian Algeria, Christian Libya, Christian Morocco, Christian Portugal, Christian Spain, Christian France, Christian Sicily, Christian Turkey, Christian Armenia, Christian Italy, all before the First Crusade. The Crusades are a legitimate response to Islamic aggression and Islamic violence. I don't need to hear any lectures about the Crusades from people who support Islamic colonialism, Islamic imperialism, Islamic dominion, and Arabization. Any other questions about any aspect of Christian history, Christian belief, Christian values, traditions? This is your opportunity. Any questions? Gone.
So you spoke about the Crusades.
Yep.
Is it the same situation with the slave trade? Because they use Christianity to convert Africans and then bring them along in ships to the Americas.
Okay.
What did Islam have to do with that?
So he asked the question.
What was the question?
What does Islam have to do with the slave trade?
Okay. No.
Yeah, I'm going to address your full question. Let's be clear. Before the European slave trade of the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s that happened in West Africa, the Islamic slave trade had existed in the Muslim world for nearly 14 centuries prior. For nearly 11 centuries, Muslims had taken slaves across Africa, across Europe, and had taken them into the Muslim world. And all through the time that Europeans practiced slavery, for the full 300 years of the European slave trade, Muslims continued to practice their own slave trade. They continued to kidnap people from Europe. They continued to kidnap people from Indonesia, people from India, people from Afghanistan, people from Africa, and take them into the Islamic slave markets to trade them as slaves. They did this because Muhammad was a slave trader who bought slaves and sold slaves. Christians, however, have ended the slave trade multiple times at different parts of history, at different geographies around the world for the last 2,000 years. The most recent example was when William Wilberforce and the anti-slave traders convinced the British Empire, using Christian arguments, to end the British slave trade. The British Royal Navy then sacrificed blood and resources to end the slave trade around the world, including inside the Islamic world. Ladies and gentlemen, now notice, the Muslim that asked the question didn't even bother to listen to the answer, because that's how they do it. They're not interested in what you've got to say. All that they want to do is try and make a polemical point, and then they're not interested in anything you have to say afterwards, because they don't like the truth. Why did Christians try to abolish the slave trade? Because our example is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, in a time when slavery was normal, never had a slave, never bought a slave, and never sold a slave.
It feels as though Islam is taking over the West. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah, they are, inshallah, soon. Soon, inshallah, yeah. all world will be become Muslim, yeah.
Yes. Take a look at this. These are two maps. I'm not going to tell you which one is Kabul and which one is Birmingham.
I was reading how, like, in the 60s, there were only one or two mosques in Birmingham, and now there's over 200. I want to understand how that happened.
Hi, I'm from America, and I'm a journalist, and I'm looking to learn about Islam in the UK. Could I speak to somebody here?
Welcome back to the Nate Friedman Show.
And with the rise of Islam in Birmingham and all around the UK, would you like to see Sharia law be implemented in the UK?
Well, that's what we want, you know, if they can do more in what the Muslim laws are.
Yes.
So it's going to be good for Muslim people, and it's also for the whole human beings, all the human peoples.
Yeah. How can you implement Sharia law in the UK? What is the procedure that needs to be done?
This is my own opinion, because
people... No, but I'm saying, how can you do it?
No, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Because as we got new counselor in the council, So same thing, if we get more MPs and all these peoples, they can raise their voice in the assembly or in the parliament, that what is the Muslim needs or what is the Muslim law or what they need it. Yes. So in that way, they can try to adjust, or they're going to put something in the influence on the government, and the government can then put the things on.
So this is Green Lane Mosque, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so at this mosque, I watched a clip of an imam instructing men how to stone their wife. There's a clip of it. Yes, there's a clip of it. He goes under. Do you want to see the clip of it?
Yeah, sure. See, I don't believe that. That somebody is telling that you should stone to your wife.
Yeah.
Unless there is another thing. Hold on. Might be I'm wrong. Yeah.
Yes.
There is a punishment for the woman.
Yeah.
If she do the adultery.
Yes, correct. That's exactly what it's for.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. This is.
And then it's okay.
This is for the adultery if she's doing something wrong. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If she's unfair relationship with another Muslim man. Then she's allowed to do the sangsar. We call him sangsar.
So that he's allowed to bury her waist deep, right?
Yeah. No. They have to.
Stone.
Throw the stone and kill him with the stone.
Kill him.
Yeah.
That's what he says here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's okay.
Yeah. And that is because if she do something wrong, that's what I mean. If she is doing unlawful sex with any other wrong person.
Right. If Sharia law is implemented in the UK, all people who cheat, all women who cheat should be killed.
They shouldn't cheat.
And just so everyone knows that this Muslim leader actually said that, that their plan is to stone women, here's the clip.
Her, that she's punished and she's stoned to death. And according to the Sharia again, when it comes to women, there must be a hole dug in the earth, in the ground, and she must be covered up to half of the body.
And a new bombshell report out of the UK has exposed what is being called the biggest scandal in British history. According to a staggering 200-page independent investigation championed by Parliament member Rupert Lowe, about 250,000 victims, primarily working-class white girls, were subjected to mass rape, trafficking, and horrific child exploitation for decades. And the perpetrators? Organized grooming gangs consisting predominantly of Pakistani Muslim men. But here's the real outrage, friends. The mainstream media and the local British police, they completely ignored it. And if that's not bad enough, they actively covered it up because they were more terrified of being called racist than they were of protecting innocent children. Mike, this is just absolutely devastating. I mean, it's so insane that this happened. Do you believe that the U.S. government can actually do anything to possibly bring justice for these victims?
Well, this occurred obviously over in the UK, but look, the webs of mass migration are intertwined globally. The same, you know, sources pushing people out and recruiting them out of home countries, engaging with international bodies, breaking down kind of barriers and borders, incentivizing the, you know, transmission of millions of people into Western countries. It's all one big web. So yes, the U.S. government should be a leader, and the way they lead is the common sense thing that was promised. Mass deportation. Show the West that it has the will to survive, not to commit suicide through mass migration, the humiliation of mass rape that the UK is seeing right now.
This is what happens when you have unchecked immigration without assimilation. It becomes an invasion. And what's even crazier here is they're concerned about accusations of racism. And this should be a tale that this can go on anywhere, including in America, particularly if we continue to allow the left to get rid of norms and laws in the name of cultural identity.
We have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition. And then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this and the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one, very simple. America 250 Years Strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny since 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, ride fast, live free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the deep state. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean. Very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can kind of promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you're really going to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. So hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com.